Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this inspiring message from Andrea Thompson.
I am so excited to be spending time with you. I have my tea and Bible in hand, and I am ready to go. Thanks for inviting me into your day. We are going to embark on a journey together of understanding and confronting the realization that your pain actually has a purpose. Pain on some level will always be present in your life, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. I would imagine by now I have earned a PhD in pain, so I feel very qualified to be having this conversation with you. Were you aware that research shows us that Americans consume 80% of the world's consumption of painkillers? I know, crazy. I mean, that is more than 110 tons of pain-killing opiates a year. So when I say, if we are alive and breathing, we will at some point in our lives have to confront pain one way or another, I would like to talk to you today about the other ways that we can confront pain without having to desensitize ourselves, our mind, body, and spirit to pain. Being able to change our thinking and the way we see pain can prove to actually have a positive purpose in our lives and help us to see it as an opportunity, not for God to see how strong you are, but for you to see how strong God has made you. After all, Christ lives in us. So when you can view pain like that, then there isn't room to allow pain to be a devastating detour in your life. I can't think of anyone better to talk about pain in the Bible than James. Let's open to the book of James. We're going to start in the first chapter, beginning with verse 2. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. There's another translation that I like, and it says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. When James says that perseverance will lead to completeness, he's referring to a fuller scope and understanding of life that only pain can teach you. So what is pain? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, pain is a physical suffering associated with disease, injury, or a bodily disorder. It can also mean mental distress. Some other words associated with pain are suffering, agony, torture, torment, discomfort, irritation, and aching. For me, and for most people, pain can be something that happens acutely, meaning suddenly, or something that accumulates over time and will fester and manifest if not dealt with. And as I already told you, with 80% of Americans alone popping painkillers as if they were candy, that tells me our pain is not properly being dealt with for several reasons, but one that comes to me instantly is that we don't see pain the way God sees pain. When we can look at pain from a perspective of the need for the more of God, for His love, for family, and hope, we have the opportunity to lean into who God says He is and what God says He can do. And in doing so, we become healed and free. One of the greatest lies of the enemy is to keep everything locked up inside of you so that you could never be fully free. In my experience, without pain, it would be too easy to forget our need for God. I am a Jesus girl doing real life, which means I don't know how to do it, but any other way but real. So how does pain get there in the first place? I am not sure how it got there for you, but for me, it began at a very young age. And in my book, Jesus Girl Doing Real Life, I go into detail about my past and the pain that I endured along the way and how I overcame it. I really encourage you to get it. But I want to be honoring of your time today, so I will go through a list of things in my life that I experienced firsthand when it comes to pain. At the age of 12, one of my uncles had attempted to rape me. 2 years later, I wasn't so lucky. I was gang raped by 6 guys. One of them was a so-called friend of mine. But I just remember that day when I was calling out and crying for help, he just stood in the doorway and laughed. I was 100 pounds overweight. I had an eating disorder. I was forced into the sex industry for 10 years of my life. I was abandoned by my father. I had two miscarriages before I was married. I went through an ugly divorce, and I wanted to kill myself, all before the age of 35. Oh, and by the way, a death sentence of cancer at the age of 42. All this pain accumulated, and I stuffed it deep down, which then turned into bitterness, resentment, anger, self-hatred, that, you know, that unloving spirit, and others rejecting me. And even worse was the rejection of my own self. I was desperate for love and attention. At some point in my life, I became so messed up in my head that I actually embraced pain in a very dangerous way. Now, I want you to understand all these painful experiences that I endured were done before I had a real relationship with Jesus. Yes, I knew Jesus, but knowing Jesus in my head and knowing Jesus in my heart were two very different things. You see, I thought that if I stayed in a perpetual state of pain, I would get the attention and love I so desired. And this was the point in my life when everything began spiraling down into horrible choices and compromises that I was making in my life. I'm not saying to go out and seek pain for your life. Don't worry, it will find you one way or another. But pain also looks different for many. But nonetheless, pain is pain. And how we respond to pain will make all the difference in your life. Don't miss this next statement. Outlook determines outcome, and attitude determines action. So in my pre-relationship with Jesus days, I personally was not one to take painkillers in the form of pills, but I certainly had my painkillers. So what were my painkillers? And hey, maybe some of mine are yours, and you will be able to relate with me. Mine were men. Mine was attention, especially from men. Being sick, and my twisted way of thinking was that they would feel sorry for me and that they would become my knight in shining armor. Playing the victim was another one of my painkillers. Money, material things. All of these were my so-called painkillers. I was desperate for attention, and I remember saying to myself that I will do whatever it takes to get someone to notice me and to love me. And no matter what I try to do, whether I changed my physical appearance, my personality, compromised my moral and values, that of which of whatever I had of them at the time. But I realized no matter how pathetic my pit was, nothing changed. Everything stayed the same. I was still treated awfully. They didn't change. And the pain in me only got worse over the years. Then I learned after quite some time that the pain of staying the same is way more painful than the pain of change. You see, until we become so sick and tired of being sick and tired, we will not make a change. So my question for you is, are you tired of being sick and tired? There is no special formula of how we can choose to get out of our pity party, but I have found as I continue to listen to so many stories of women who finally had enough, there was a common denominator that we all had. It was that pivotal point, that aha moment when we choose not to be a victim of pain and choose to live in victory. And for me, it was this one particular day that I'll never forget. And I remember that I was at church, and I talk about in my book, Jesus Girl Doing Real Life, about having an encounter with this guy that I was dating and his ex-wife. And I remember his ex-wife was inviting me to church all the time. And I remember I kept saying no. But then there was this one day that I finally said yes. And believe me, I had this perfect excuse of not going to church with the ex-wife because my boyfriend at the time wasn't digging on the fact that his girlfriend and ex-wife would be hanging out in church together. But that one day, I just could not resist, and I said yes. You ever remember that day that you finally said yes? And so I remember going to church and listening to the sermon that day, and at the end, the pastor had called everybody up that wanted prayer, and I knew I needed prayer, and I held my head low, so as if they couldn't see me. And just as I was going through that in my head, the ex-wife, my now friend, literally took me by the ear and walked me up to that altar. And all of a sudden, I can hear her cousin crying. And I looked over, but I don't know about you, but when I see a man crying, I was kind of like, whoa. And I remember him looking at me that day in my eyes, and he said, "Do you know how much Jesus loves you?" And I just remember standing there. And he said it again, and he looked into my eyes, and I'm looking at him, and I am telling you, it was as if Jesus was speaking directly to me. And he said, "Andrea, do you know how much Jesus loves you right now? Because if you don't, he has now taken the most unlikely person to draw you into him. He loves you that much." Well, I knew when I left church that day that I had a decision to make, and there was still real life that I had to face. But it was for the first time in my life that I knew that I wasn't alone in this process with pain. And that Jesus was so loving and caring that he actually brought earthly people to walk this out alongside with me. I will never forget the night that I finally chose to leave and to never look back. And I remember because it was March 1st, 2007, and the words in the middle of the night as I was driving off, I said, "No matter what, Lord, no matter what I face in this life, I will not turn my back on you." Jesus made me realize that the freedom from pain was far worth more than holding on to all the hurtful things that people said or did to me, worth more than any shame or guilt the enemy put on me, worth more than any horrible thing that I can think or speak over my own self. So let's now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. And this is Paul talking, and he's saying, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" Well, in my teaching on renewing the mind, I walk you through my journey of my deadly diagnosis of cancer. And I give you key steps in how to change your mindset. And I highly recommend if you know someone or if you are going through cancer, you need to download my new ebook on my victorious journey of beating the deadly disease in 90 days. And then also the teaching on renewing your mind. I guarantee I pleaded with God more than three times to take it out of my body. I know you know what I mean. You've been there where you've asked God over and over to take your situation or your circumstances away and you don't think that he's listening. Well, he is listening. And I have come to know that God will answer you with one of two responses. One, he will completely remove it. Or two, he will give you the grace and strength to walk through it, even when he isn't even on your radar, like me when I was being gang raped. I know you're probably wondering, how in the world did I get through that one? Not easily, but I came out of it fully restored. And this is where I want to take you through a few of the things that I have done to walk through my pain with grace and strength that God has given me. I have learned I can handle anything with God's help. When you and I rely on the sustaining grace of God during a painful time in our lives, whether right after it happens or years later when your heart is finally ready to heal, you will demonstrate a spirit that is so sweet and catching to others as well. Joyce Meyer, she is one of my favorites, and one of the ultimate quotes that she says is, "You can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both." So here I go again, getting real. I spoke earlier about one of the biggest lies of the enemy was to keep everything hidden and locked up inside of you, because then you will never be fully healed. Talking about the realities of our pain may be very difficult at times for many different reasons. Let me just get to the point. When I was gang raped, not that I am excusing what happened, or even for a moment was it okay, but I also evaluated my actions of that day. I was not where I told my parents I would be. I put myself in a very vulnerable situation that I should have never been in the first place. But Hindsight, they tell me, is 20/20. I was ashamed. I was scared. I didn't want to get in trouble for my dad because I was not where I told him I would be. And pretty much back then, you just didn't say anything to anyone about bad things that happened to you, especially sexual things. So I stuffed it. Oh, I stuffed it good, all right. Pain, when left undealt with, will eventually manifest and become even more painful. It's the way our bodies work to protect itself. I wanted to share with you a few key things I have done over the years to take me from pitiful to powerful when it comes to overcoming pain. And this is where we put on our big girl pants on and go after it. So the first key to overcoming your pain is pursue healing. When pain isn't dealt with and buried deep inside of you, it can and most likely will manifest physically in your body. It will take on or morph into things like bitterness, rejection, anger, resentment, self-hating, like low self-esteem, not feeling worthy enough, hating others, and the list goes on. Let me ask you a question. I want you to write down the first thing that comes to you. How is your heart right now? Go ahead. I just want you to write down whatever is coming to you. How is your heart right now? I want to talk about your heart for a moment. After all, the heart is the wellspring of your life, and the Lord wants you to guard it closely. I have come to know that when I am in pain of any kind, it's hard for me to stop and think about my heart. Well, it used to be until I began applying these very principles to my life. Let's take a road trip together to Psalm 73. We're going to begin in verse 21. It says, "For my heart was embittered, and I was pierced within." Another translation says, "For my heart was in ferment, and I was pierced in my kidneys." That word embittered in the Hebrew is chametz. Yeah, I can say the ch. I'm Jewish, so I can say it. Which means to be sour or leavened. The word ferment means to be in a state of agitation. So when the heart is in a state of agitation, when it is in pain, whether from past hurts, past or present sins, things we have done or things that others have done to us that have gone unforgiven, it will go so deep that it will affect the organs of your body. It will cause a disconnect in the very mechanisms in our bodies that bring about healing, like the heart. I've been saying this for a long time. Disease is spiritual and it begins in the heart. And it will manifest physically if not dealt with. There are times when, as I said earlier, Jesus chooses to take the problem we are faced with immediately when we ask, to take it away. And there are times that in his love and omniscience, he will allow those things that ail us to remain, as I stated earlier. Yes, there are times for medical help. But he also wants us to have that automatic reflex in coming to him, depending on him, and acknowledging his ultimate power and ability in our lives. The condition of our hearts is so vital. Do you realize that you and I are carrying the answers for this generation? We are followers of Jesus Christ, carrying him in us. We carry his heart. And if we can yield our hearts to him, he has the power and love for us to change our hearts. And part of changing the pain in your heart so it won't affect other organs of your physical body is what I was alluding to a bit ago, forgiveness. And this is the next key point in overcoming pain. Forgive in the pain. One of the things that I did to heal from the pain of being gang raped was I had to forgive in the pain. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives, for if he doesn't, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but can also poison the lives of many others." Maybe your pain isn't about being gang raped. Maybe it's divorce. So putting this verse in perspective would be like, instead of responding to your ex with grace, or even when you don't like him or her or the way they are living their life or whatever they did to you, and you began speaking so horribly about them to your children. Oh, wow, I know I'm stepping on some toes now. But that is what is meant by it can also poison the lives of many others. There are many examples that we can use, but this seems to be one that happens a lot. And I'm not pointing fingers. Like I said earlier, I went through an ugly divorce, so no blaming over here. But this is real life stuff, and we need to confront it from the throne of grace if we want to be free from the pain and be a positive, sweet light to the world. When I travel and speak, I have the privilege of sharing my testimony of God's redemption in my life. And I will say at some point in my testimony that I forgave the 6 guys that gang raped me. And I will say I forgave my father for abandoning me and so on. Well, I had the opportunity to find out firsthand if I actually really did forgive. I don't ever want to tell people one thing and not be doing it myself. So I want to just share with you a story of 2 particular houses. So I was in Los Angeles last year and I decided to drive to the first house. So I remember standing in front of this first house, which happened to be the house where I was gang raped by these 6 guys. And I remember parking and I got out and I stood in front of that house and I actually started praying over that house. I started praying that whatever maybe would have been left in that house, that pain that was there from the rape, that, I mean, I didn't know if the people in there were the same people that lived there or not. It wasn't the point, but I prayed that there would be an overwhelming sense of peace and freedom that would come over that house, and anything that was left there that was painful would leave. And I learned something so powerful from my pastor, Bill Johnson, that he said that when he takes communion, that he will ask God to bless his enemies. So I stood in front of that house that day and I blessed those 6 guys that raped me. And I asked God to have an encounter with them so great that they will be great, mighty men of valor for his kingdom. Well, then I drove to the second house. And this particular house was a house where my dad made the decision to leave his family. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I at times need to go through these key steps with my dad still when something triggers. And you may need to do it over and over again as well. But let me give you a piece of advice on how you do that. And this is the last key I wanted to share with you. Humble yourself. Yes, humble yourself before the Lord. And you tell him, Jesus, I can't do this on my own and I need your help. You may feel like you need to do that right now, so let's just stop for a second so that we can get through the rest of this teaching, and let's invite him in right now to come and help you. So I just want you to repeat after me and say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own, and I need your help. So the question now is, what is your choice of painkillers? Again, for me, it wasn't actually pain medication. Maybe it is for you. Or maybe, like me, it was the men. Or maybe for you, it's drugs, alcohol, attention. Maybe it's social media. It's having to live vicariously through other people's happiness or their made-up happiness, just so that you could cope and escape with whatever it is that you are going through right now. You see, Jesus wants to meet you right now where you are in this process of pain. Even if it has turned into bitterness, anger, or resentment, he wants to help you through this, and he wants to impart his love and grace to you. I have learned that religion separates God from the pain, but God wants to show you something. The purpose of him showing you something is so that you can see that he is right there with you to walk this thing called pain out into victory, so that you don't have to spend the rest of your life a victim and defeated. So I just want you to repeat after me. I recognize, God, you are with me right now. You are not judging me. And I don't need, and I want you to fill in whatever it is that you have been using as your painkiller. Maybe it's multiple things. And I want you to say out loud, and I don't need name the thing to get me through another moment. All I need is you. And I want to leave you with this scripture from James. It's where we began our conversation together today, and it's where we will leave until we meet again. So James 1, verse 12. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. I have been blessed beyond measure to have walked out every incident of pain in my life with purpose and freedom. And I pray the same for you. Resiliency is born from your discovery of strength within yourself to overcome.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Andrea Thompson. Our desire is that through our resources and tools, you will be inspired to take action and move towards overcoming any obstacle in your health and in your life. For more encouraging resources or to connect with us, visit us online at andreathompson.org. Remember, don't wait for tomorrow. Get started today.